Two voices now on a tragedy unfolding in the United States. Over 50% of the U.S. is currently classified as in an historic and devastating drought. One-third of the Midwest experiencing extreme drought. More than 1,000 counties are eligible for natural disaster area loans. The land is the basis for wealth and abundance in the U.S., and a decline in agricultural production hits food prices hard, especially in the Corn Belt, where corn products find their way into millions of food products you might not associate with corn fritters, corn flakes, and corn muffins. For many corn farmers, the damage is done, but for livestock farmers, the troubles are just beginning. Texas cattle rancher Pete Bonds joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Hello, John.
Also, other farmers are ironically going to benefit from this drought. The value of irrigated crops will rise now, making farms with irrigation more valuable, even as failed acreage destroys other farms. Colorado corn farmer John Harold is one of these irrigators from Olathe, Colorado. Two voices now experiencing the ripple effect of some of the worst drought since the 20th century Dust Bowl. Pete Bonds and John Harold, thanks for being with us.
Hello.
So I guess you're really happy about that irrigation system you've got, John.
Well, we have storage water, and so we have good reservoirs. They're full, and so we've been fortunate this year that we are able to irrigate, and we do have good crops.
Tell us about the fluctuation you're noticing in the price and what's going to happen that we should all watch for over the next couple of months, John Harold.
Well, the fluctuation in the fresh market is not that great. In the cattle and the dent corn, it is much greater in the sense that cattlemen are all struggling in our area and around our area for feed for this fall. But the last 10, 11 days, the monsoon flow out of Mexico has come through here. And we've had substantial rains in our mountains. They're starting to green up again, and it looks much better for the cattle in the mountains.
That's John Harold from Olathe, Colorado, corn farmer, owner of Tuxedo Corn Company. Pete Bonds, he's describing the sort of white knuckles of the livestock farmer this time of year, even with some of the good luck that he says he's experiencing. What are you seeing, Pete?
Well, in Texas, there's a line kind of runs from Wichita Falls down to Seymour down to Coleman. And if you're east of that line, you're probably okay. West of that line, it gets pretty sorry pretty fast. A friend of mine was telling me there's one ranch out there that's about 300,000 acres. It's got their saddle horses, a cow, a bull, and a calf.
Wow.
They've had to completely destock everything else.
Now you're feeding your stock corn, right?
No, sir. We feed our cattle grass. A rancher is truly a grass farmer. He raises grass, and he harvests grass through cattle. Where it will affect us is the corn, after these calves are weaned and grown for a while outside, they'll enter a feed yard where they'll be fed corn for approximately 150 days.
Right.
Those feed yards, the cost of corn has skyrocketed on them. And so that means for our cattle and our products, our calves and our yearlings, they cannot give as much for them because their import cost has gone up so tremendously.
All right, to both of you, over the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, months, are there decision points that you're going to reach, either positive or negative, where you're going to have to make a decision one way or another? Pete Bonds, let's begin with you.
Yes, we've already started doing it. We ranch pretty well all over the nation, and like in southeastern Colorado, we turned out a lot of yearlings and our calves and was going to leave them there till October. We've already went in there and lightened up twice. Next week, they're going in there and ship everything, and we're done. I mean, we're done till next year, you know, till it rains.
Does that mean, Pete Bonds, that when I find a good price on a veal shank in my butcher market, that I should be concerned about just what that means for farmers like you?
Yes. No, don't worry about us, but, I mean, you know, this is not the first drought I've seen, and hope it's not the last one I see. I hope in Texas we're going to have droughts. We understand and know how to live through them, and some are worse than others, and some are real awful. But don't worry about us, but understand, though, in about 2 years when that veal shank doubles in price, that it wasn't our fault.
And it means the rains have started is probably what it means, and they'll continue until the next time the price goes down. That's Pete Bonds, one tough guy, cattle rancher in Fort Worth, Texas. Let's turn to John Harold, corn farmer in Olathe, Colorado. What are the decision points for you over the next couple of months, or are you pretty much banking this spike in corn prices that's on the horizon?
Well, more than anything, we are going to ride this out because of the ability to store water. So the decision is really to say, can we hold our cattle? Because as Mr. Barnes was saying, he's had to liquidate some of his, which means the cattle market has gone down on that basis. But when those cattle are used up, they're going to be a shortage of cattle. And that's what he's saying in a couple of years. Don't complain about the price going up because people have had to liquidate earlier than they normally would. And my guess is that Mr. Barnes is completely accurate. In 1 and 2 years, you're going to find a real shortage of good cattle.
What a screwy year. In Colorado in the mountains, not much rain for the winter, but they've managed to get some to dodge the bullet there here in the middle of the summer. John Harold, corn farmer, owner of Tuxedo Corn Company in Olathe, Colorado, and Pete Bonds, cattle rancher in Fort Worth, Texas. Gentlemen, good luck. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.